I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture today is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Amen. Thank you, Lori. And you can have a seat, and I want to invite Pastor Paul to come at this time. And I want to pray for you, Paul, before you give us the word. I like his bow tie. We got another guy in the church that wears a bow tie. She made that?
My wife made this bow tie.
Well, there you go. I'll take a picture with you and Jason Metters, the bow tie people. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for this awesome brother. I thank you for his love for you, Jesus, love for the word, love for life, love for his church and his people. God, I thank you that we can share in ministry together, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do through him today, Lord. So anoint him and give him freedom to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go for it.
All right. Good morning, Calvary. How is everybody? Pretty good. Great. I'm doing great. This morning, I told a couple people already that I was planning on preaching on something, and then as I was looking over my notes and meditating on some scriptures, I just kept having more and more thoughts coming to mind, and I thought, my goodness, well, I guess Dave did tell me I could preach till 2, so we should be, wait, right? Right? It's 2 o'clock? No, just kidding. I'm going to try to be as brief and concise as I can be, but the Lord has put a lot on my heart that I'm excited to share with all of you. My name is Pastor Paul Letfin. I'm one of two pastors from Submerged Church here in town, and as Dave said, we've gotten to know each other really well through ELN meetings and praying together. I've come to a number of the men's studies here on Friday mornings, and yeah, I like you people. I like Calvary. It's a lot of great people, and I've had lunch with a number of people here, and it's been great. Yeah, and Dave and I, we're just praying to see what God wants to do with our churches. And if nothing else, just, you know, work together to reach this community for Jesus Christ, and maybe God has more in store than that. We're just following his lead one step at a time, just as I know you all have been following Jesus' lead one step at a time with everything going on in the United Methodist Church movement. And I know there's lots of thoughts and feelings and things on that, but just taking it one step at a time, doing the next right thing, waiting on the Lord for strength. In light of that, I just wanted to really quickly address the coronavirus, and thank you, Sandy and Becky, for sharing. In fact, a lot of what they said was what I was planning on preaching on, so I can just cut that out of my message now, I guess, and we'll only have to hear half what I had. No, kidding. But it was really great. The passages that Sandy shared, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control." And then I just read a verse recently out of Psalm 56 I wanted to share with all of you, verses 3 and 4. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" And it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to watch the news. It's easy to read this and that on social media. But we as Christians are called to a greater power. We have hope. There are people in this world where this is all they have. This is their only life to live. And of course, they're panicking. But we have something greater in store for us, don't we? You know, my mother-in-law gave me a little card here. She didn't know I was going to do this, so sorry. They're actually here this morning, my in-laws, Bill and Joan Haroff, all the way from Dickinson. So thanks for being here. Oh, and my sister-in-law. She lives here, though. But my mother-in-law gave me this card, COVID-19, Christ over viruses and infectious diseases. And if you look at Joshua 1:9-19, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that neat? And as I was thinking about that more, I thought, you know what? I think the world's got it all backwards. It should be 91 Divok. So if you go to Psalm 91, we see the divinity of Christ. Psalm 91 Divok, it says, and this was referenced by Sandy when she prayed. This is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Isn't that powerful? So, if you feel like the world's got it backwards, they do. Just take that COVID-19 virus, turn it around, Psalm 91, Divok, divinity of Christ, and he protects us. He protects us from these pestilences. And I was so excited, yeah, as was mentioned, that President Trump declared today as a National Day of Prayer. So I just thought it'd be appropriate. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but what I'm going to be speaking to you about today, I think this is very timely. We need to rely on God's word. We need to trust in his promises. We need to know it, and we need to declare it. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today, just a good spiritual formation practice of how we need to be simply eating our daily bread by reading our Bibles, So let's go ahead and pray for this time. I know we've prayed already, but I'd like to pray for our President, just for wisdom, and then that God would speak to each of our hearts here. Father, we come before you this morning humbly. We thank you for your power. We thank you that you reign over everything. This is no surprise to you. You're in control of everything. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us to look to you for strength. Lord, we thank you for President Trump. Lord, we pray that he would be surrounded by wise counselors who have an understanding of the times. 1 Chronicles 12:32, just as the men of Issachar did. Lord, we pray that you'd give him wisdom in these uncertain times. He'd make good decisions. Lord, I pray that we as the church would stand behind him when he makes moral, upright decisions for our country. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're here right now. You abide in us. You dwell in us. Help us to acknowledge your presence and hear what you want to tell us. Give us attentive ears. Give us open minds. Give us soft hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think this is in your bulletin notes, but it should be up on the screen. It's the big idea, big blue screen with the light bulb. Hey, wow, we got some good tech people here. See, at our church, I always have to, hey, are they following me? No, they do a great job too. The big idea, eat your bread daily. Church, listen to me. So when we go home this afternoon, when we're sitting down, when we're filling our carts at Costco, when we're doing all these other things, and you're thinking, man, what did that crazy guy with the bow tie from Submerge talk about this morning? Oh yeah, eat your bread daily. So you guys can all go home now, actually. That's the main point. The big idea. No, kidding. Eat your bread daily. That's the big idea. So, next slide here, we've got a picture of bread, just so we know what bread looks like. Bread in all its various forms is the most widely consumed food in the world. Not only is it an important source of carbohydrates, but it's also portable and compact, which helps to explain why it has been an integral part of our diet for thousands of years. Of course, carbohydrates are an important part of our diet is they provide us with energy. Our bread contains various B vitamins, including thiamine, vitamin B1, and niacin, vitamin B3, which are essential for releasing energy from food. And then for all you chemistry buffs out there, we've got the diagram of what carbohydrates look like, so you can check your sources later. But that's carbohydrates. Just as we need bread or some carbohydrate food for physical energy, we need Jesus for spiritual energy. But how do we get this energy from Jesus? By spending time with him and sitting at his feet, growing our relationship with him, and falling in love with him. And that's how we get energy from Jesus. How do we do that? By developing spiritual formation practices, like, for today's focused example, reading our Bibles. This is so that we can know Christ and make him known. Now, where have I heard that before? You guys know it. That's what this church is about, and I love it. We need to know Christ, and we need to make him known. And we do that in many ways, by praying, by practicing Sabbath, tithing, worshiping, and reading our Bibles. So we're going to focus on that today, reading our Bibles. So let's make this connection between Jesus, the bread, the word. So in today's scripture reading, Matthew 4:4, Jesus makes it clear that we cannot live by bread alone. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, interestingly enough, right before this, you know, Satan said, "If you are the Son of God." See, Satan is always trying to cause doubt. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And he does the same thing with us. Did you know that? Who are you? Are you really God's child? Do you really have the power to say no to sin? You think God will actually win? Satan's always causing doubt. And that's why we need to know his word, and we need to claim his promises. So this temptation, in fact, all three times that Jesus is tempted, he responds with what? "It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written." All three times. So this is another great reminder and reason for us to know the word of God inside and out. We need to know it so well. Why? Satan knows it. Satan knows it. He quoted scripture to use against Jesus, did he not? We need to know it from the depths of our hearts to the tips of our tongues. It helps us to fight off temptations from our flesh, the devil, and the world, that unholy trinity that we're always at war against. We need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let's form that connection between Jesus, bread, and the word. So John 6:35, let's take a look at that. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Wow, that's some bread I could use in times like this. You know, I was at Costco yesterday. The bread shelves were virtually empty. There was a couple bags of English muffins, some buns, but that was about it. So if you're running out of bread, I've got a bread for you that'll never run out. His name's Jesus. Let's take a look at this diagram here. So Jesus, A, equals the bread, B. Okay, so we got that covered. Math people, you with me? Okay, all right, next. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, so now from that, we can formulate, okay, so Jesus, A, equals the word, C. So, if A equals B, and A equals C, then B equals C, right? Everybody following me? Is this correct math? Yeah, okay. Now, if Jesus equals the bread, and Jesus equals the word, then bread equals the word. Therefore, my daily bread is the word, my Bible, who is really Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We've got Jesus right here. Every time you open this book, doesn't matter if you're Old Testament or New Testament, the Old Testament just points to Jesus time and time and time after again. I wish I had time to talk about that. Isaac carrying wood up a hill? Do you know of another son who carried wood up a hill? See what I'm talking about? It's all over. It's all over. So when you open this Bible, you're experiencing Jesus. Now, how many of us would go a day without eating? Maybe when you're fasting, right? How about a week? How about a month? We might think to ourselves, man, I just don't have time to eat today. I'm too busy. I'll have to wait until tomorrow. Then the same thing happens the next day and the next. Then we might think, well, at the end of the week, when I have a day off, I'll make up for all the days I missed eating this week, and I'll just eat 21 meals at once. Right? Sadly, this is how some of us treat the Word of God, our Bibles, our spiritual daily bread. It doesn't make sense. If we did with food what some of us do with reading our Bibles, we would be completely physically drained, fatigued, and probably even bedridden with sickness, starving to death. What is even more sad is that some of us are spiritually bedridden with sickness, starving spiritually because of our failure to be eating our spiritual food, reading our Bibles, abiding in Jesus, sitting at his feet, and falling in love with him. We need to change that. And now, I know there's people in this church, there's people in our church, there's Christians in this city that are faithfully reading their Bibles every day, which is wonderful. But I think a lot of us sitting here know, yeah, that's probably something I could grow in a little bit. I've been a little spiritually starved lately. And Christians, there's no greater time than this, in times of uncertainty, than to get in the Word and abide in Jesus and get that spiritual bread. So let's talk about how can I get the Bible to truly become my daily bread? Well, how does one eat bread? Let's figure it out. In case you guys don't know how to eat bread, I'm going to show you. Now, these are holy Chick-fil-A napkins that I have that I'm going to make sure we don't infect this stand here with anything. So the Chick-fil-A will keep the virus away, okay? Just let the... They did not pay me to say that, but we'll see what happens. So how do we eat bread? Okay, so I've got my bread sitting here. You pick it up, okay? Try not to make a mess here, Dave, yeah. So we pick it up. My wife made this bread, by the way. She's a great lady. She does a lot of great stuff. Try not to embarrass her too. Oh, there she is. We'll talk later. Okay, so you pick it up. So you pick up the bread. That's step one, right? Now you have to look at it, because if you're not looking at it and you're just busy talking all the time like I do, you're not going to know where to put the bread, right? So you got to pick it up. Step two, you look at it. Three, you take a bite. And then you chew it. This takes a little time. And you chew it. And you keep chewing it. And then you wish you would have brought some water to wash it down. Jesus is our living water too, isn't he? You guys know where I'm going with this. Okay? So why don't you chew it for a while? Then you swallow it. It becomes part of you. That bread is now dwelling inside me, and that energy will get spread into my entire body. Okay? So in a matter of a couple days, you're going to be kind of looking at that bread, because that has gone into my body, my cells, and that's who I am. And guess what? It's the same thing with Jesus. It's the same thing with reading our Bibles. So knowing the Bible and living out what it says is done by a very similar process. We must read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and obey it. Let's take a look at each of these in greater depth. So we're going to go through these five steps of how to eat your Bible. So these are, I believe, in your bulletin notes. If there's anything that sticks out, feel free to write some little notes where there's some room there. So step number one, you read it. So with the bread, we pick it up, right? Deuteronomy 17:19, and this law shall be with the king, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. Okay? Some Christians say, well, do I have to read my Bible every day? Well, no. Do you have to brush your teeth every day? Do you have to eat every day? You don't have to, but you're going to be a lot better off if you do. If you read it every day, just as the king was commanded to read it every day. Joshua 8:34-35. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. It was read out loud. Now, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Isn't that amazing? When we read God's word aloud, it has great power. And I know this verse is specifically referencing John's revelation, but we know there's power when people hear God's word. We need to read it. We need to read it out loud. If you want it, this is a neat quote too. Another, my mother-in-law shared this with me too. I found it very fascinating, by Justin Peters. If you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read your Bible out loud. Okay? People are always wondering, oh, I just have such a hard time hearing God's voice. I just, what am I supposed to do? What's his will? Well, go read your Bible out loud, and you'll hear what he wants you to do. Oh, number two, we need to study. We need to study it. Okay, so you pick the bread up, and now we're looking at it. Okay, we're analyzing it. We're spending time looking at it. Acts 17:10-11. Are you guys familiar with being a good Berean? Being a good Berean. Okay, this is where that phrase comes from. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily. Ooh, there's that word daily again. We don't have to read our Bibles every day, right? You don't have to. It's a good idea. Daily, to see if these things were so. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Nehemiah 8:13. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. It's so important to study. One way I like to do this is by journaling. I've got a journal in my bag that I always have with me, and my goal every day is to find at least one verse that sticks out to me, and then I write it down, and then I do a commentary on it and kind of pray on it. How does it speak out to me? One way you can do this, some of you are maybe familiar with this, is it's called the SOAP method of journaling. SOAP method. So S is scripture. So you find that scripture that sticks out to you. O is observation. What did you observe happening in this passage? The A stands for application. How can I apply this to my life? And then P stands for prayer. And then you just write a little prayer, say a little prayer based on that scripture that you wrote. So that's called SOAP journaling. S-O-A-P. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. That's a great way to study God's word. Three, memorize. Okay, you got to take a bite of it. Now we're getting a little bit more in depth. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So along with memorization, can be good to have symbols. This ring I have, it's hammered. There's little hammer marks on it. It reminds me of Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus isn't done working on me yet. Praise the Lord. Because if he was done, we'd all be in rough shape. And I'm so thankful that he's not done working on me. So I've got that. The tick marks on my watch are red. Reminds me, I need the blood of Jesus every second. This bracelet I'm wearing, it goes through kind of the Romans road. There's Ephesians in there too, but it's gospel verses. When I go to NDSU, talk to students there, I say, well, let's talk about this, okay? Yellow represents sin, for all of sin falls short of the glory of God. And, you know, and I go through all these verses and walk right through. And whatever it takes, we've got to remind ourselves constantly of God's word. We need to memorize it. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we have God's word in our heart, it helps us fight off temptation. It helps us fight off temptation when we have God's word memorized in our hearts. Malachi 4:4, remember the law of my servant Moses. Don't just read it. Don't just study it. Remember it. Remember it. The statutes and the rules I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. At our house, we like to use songs to remember it. Can anybody tell me right now, what's the eighth letter of the alphabet? Anybody? Say it if you know. Ooh, I heard H. How'd you figure that out? Were you singing the A, B, C in your head, right? Maybe? That was the correct answer. But was anybody singing the ABCs in their head as you were trying to figure it out? Anyway, are we awake here? Do you guys know the ABC? Do you guys teach the ABC song here? Okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Yep, that's the eighth letter. Okay, music makes us remember. I taught music for 7 years. Okay, our kids at home, we memorize fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Is anybody embarrassed for me right now? Like, is he really singing that? But it sticks in your head. And then it sinks in your heart. When we put music, so I could go on and on. James 1, 2, anybody, kids here, you guys seen Frozen, right? Anybody seen Frozen? You know that song? Do you want to build a snowman? Guess what? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That's what it says in James 1, verses 2 through 3. Next time, please sing with me. Count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all joy, my sisters. Okay, bye. See how easy that is? If anybody wants, if you got Voxer or something else, I'd be more than happy to sing these to your phone, and then you could just listen to it over and over. It sticks in you. Scripture lullabies. Oh, my goodness. How did I forget this? There's a great album. You can get it on Amazon. You probably can get it anywhere. It's called Scripture Lullabies. They've got, oh goodness, at least three volumes, and there's one that's like just piano. Really well done. It's not hokey cheesy kids music. It's like well orchestrated, talented, called Scripture Lullabies, and they sing God's word. Our kids frequently request it, and oh my goodness, it warms my heart. I'd highly recommend that if you want to get to know God's word. Okay, moving on. So we need to read the word, study it, memorize it, and then meditate on it. And this is where the time comes in. We need to take time chewing and chewing and chewing, just like some of us I see are chewing that gum, chewing and chewing and chewing. Yep, that's what we need to do with God's word. That's what we need to do with God's word. We continue, we think about it. We think about it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And if you were following on the screen there, you thought, Pastor Paul, you didn't really quote that verse correctly. Well, that's ESV. I memorized that verse when I was 9 years old from the NIV 84. So that's why I was a little different. But that's what we need to do. It needs to be on our mouth, in our minds, day and night. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And Christians, I hope we're understanding this correctly. We're not talking about New Age, Middle Eastern, sitting and going, and looking internally to find our new enlightenment. This is, all meditating is thinking about something over and over. Is anybody good at worrying around here? Anybody worry? Guess what? If you're good at worrying, thinking about something negative over and over and over, usually something that hasn't even happened or yet, or could maybe not even be true. If you can do that, guess what? You're already halfway there to meditating on God's word. So just take those negative thoughts out, those junk recordings that you play over and over. What are we going to do? Is this person like me? Did I dress nicely enough? What if I say the wrong thing? So we take those negative thoughts out, and then we just plug God's word in and be like, oh, yeah, God delights in me. Never will he leave me. Never will he forsake me. And you think about that over and over and over. That's what we need to do. Psalm 37:7. This is something I've been thinking about in my times. I practice the daily office, so my goal twice a day, I sit at Jesus' feet in silence, just and think about him. I spend time with him not to get anything out of him. It's just to be with him, and I think about his word. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And I'll just sit and think about that over and over for minutes and fall asleep thinking about it. And lastly, obey the word. We could do all four of these steps, but if we don't swallow it, there's no point. Did you guys see all that work it took for me to eat that bread? I had to pick it up. I had to look at it. I had to bite it. I had to chew it. But then if I spit it out and I don't let it become part of me, what's the point? We need to obey God's word. We need to swallow it. John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if, what? You do them. Blessed are you if you do them. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think I've even seen a billboard off I-29 or I-94 that says that, right? It's like, real Christians obey Jesus' teaching, right? It's true. It's true. Jesus himself said it. Okay, James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we could be sitting here and listening to this and thinking, man, this is great. Yep, I need to read my Bible, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. But if we don't go live it out, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We need to live it out. We need to do it. So we'll wrap up with this. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? I don't know what your guys' cell phone policy is at Calvary, but at Submerge, anytime someone takes their cell phone out, we believe the best in them and that they're looking at their Bible app on their phone, which I'm sure what everyone who has done, taking their cell phone out this morning, right? Is it okay if people take their cell phones out right now? Okay, if you want to, you can. If not, you can write this down and do it later. But here's a real easy example. And there's many ways you can do this. There's many daily devotionals. Oh my goodness, you go online, the resources are just off the charts. But this is what I do. So if you go to gccweb.org, that's our church movement association, Great Commission Churches. If you go to the resources tab, click on email, sign up. If anybody wants to do this now, you're sure welcome to. And then under the GCC Daily Devotional, you click on sign up now. Under the request type, you select GCC Daily Devotional sign up. You enter your personal information. I think it's just name, email, social security number, credit card, date of birth. No, stops at the email. and then you get an email every day. So step five there on do you have a plan? Yep. Enjoy the GCC Daily Devotional in your email every day and read the one-year Bible reading at the bottom in a way that works for you. It looks like this, just shows up on your phone. At the bottom is the one-year Bible reading. I don't feel the pressure to read all of that. I've probably read through the Bible, I don't know, 23, 24 times. Dave, probably you've probably read through it like 150 times. I'm trying to catch up to you. Anyway, but I just read the Psalm and the New Testament reading of the day. That's what I do. I like to read a little bit slower these days and just really think about it. Instead of stuffing myself with this big feast, I just take a little bit and think about it. So use it in a way that works for you. If you don't have a plan, get one. Do something. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? We've heard that. So I encourage each of you, have some kind of Bible reading plan. Our family, we read the Proverbs of the day during our family devotion time. So today's March 15th, we read Proverbs 15. And we read through Proverbs, 11 times in a year, because then in December we do a Advent devotional. Please, read your Bibles. Last quote here, Adrian Rogers, if you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not. So powerful. So once again, the big idea, Christians, eat your bread daily. Eat your bread daily. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you that you've given us your word, a love letter to us. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that we would read it, that we would study it, that we would memorize it, that we would meditate on it, that we would obey it, Lord. As St. Patrick's breastplate says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Lord, help us to swallow the word and let it become a part of who we are, obeying it every day. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I want to ask Pastor Paul to stand with me at the door. We're not going to shake hands, but we can sure smile at people when they walk by, Paul. Okay? And if you need prayer today, there'll be folks here to pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you have a need, a spiritual need, a physical, emotional need, we want to be faithful and call on him. You know, he said, don't be anxious about anything, instead pray about it. So we want to be praying people. So the Bible says the entrance of his word brings light. So let the word enter so you can have light. Amen.